Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. I am your host, Evangelist White. Please go with me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious Lord, I come before you with thanks in my heart and praise on my lips. God, I ask that you touch every listener who tuned in today in a special way. I thank you for allowing me to live to see another birthday, and I pray you will continue to allow me to mature gracefully. As we teach your people on today, I ask that you give us complete wisdom and give us clarity for your holy word. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning, and thank you for tuning in with myself and Elder White.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elder White.
Good morning.
How are you doing today, sir?
I'm blessed this morning.
Amen. The topic that God has given me today, I know is not only an on-time topic, but it is a right now word that is so needed. Today's topic is order in the house of God. Now, allow me to remind you all that order is a mandate, instructions, and command. And if you have been tuning in with us these last couple of weeks, myself and Elder White, we have been talking about order in the home. So when God gave me order in the house of God, and the reason it is so necessary, Elder White, I first immediately went to 1 Peter 4:17.
Amen.
And it reads, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" And I just want to go right into some of the things that God has given me about when we're not having order in the house of God. The first one is disorder comes into the house of God when the local church is not properly organized. Before I even go into that, Elder, let me ask you, you know, what do you think about that? Disorder comes into the house of God when the local church is not properly organized. And the reason I asked you is because I know you have been in a position of a pastor. And so what comes to mind with you with that?
Well, three things. There's three things that come to mind when it comes down to order and structure in the church that has to be present.
Okay.
No vision from God.
Mm.
No anointing.
Mm-mm-mm.
And no wisdom.
Jesus.
And there's probably a lot of other things, but that I put that as the top three from what I've seen in visiting ministries where you have a breakdown. The Bible really doesn't give us really, per se, detailed instructions on how to actually set up a church. He gives us the anointing of God, and we are guided by His Spirit according to the vision that He gives us.
Yes.
But I find that these three areas are very crucial, and they are very important, and the reason why you have so much disorder
okay.
is because those three things is not present.
Amen. That's good. One of the scriptures that God had given me was Proverbs 1:7, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. What I like is, you know, the three things that God gave you, and then He had me go in a total different direction as well, as far as disorder comes into the house of God when the local church is not properly organized, but they all work together.
Right.
Amen. Submission to the Lord and His revelation. When one is afraid of something, he either runs from it or he submits to it. The beginning does not mean that the fear of the Lord is left behind in the course of acquiring wisdom, but that it is the controlling principle of wisdom. Sad to say, but many of us preachers have watered down the word of God.
Amen.
Ouch, huh, Elder?
Amen.
We want to soften the message, and when we do this, we take away from the word of God. We are so careful now not to offend anybody. However, do we take the thought of how much we offend God? When we avoid teaching about fearing God in the house of God, we miss the balance that is needed. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. Jesus spoke more on the fear of hell than on the glory of heaven. He thought it to be timely and urgent. A.W. Tozer said, "That makes me both love him and fear him. I love him because he is my Savior, and I fear him because he is my judge." If we truly want to see change and growth in our churches again, we have to start lovingly proclaiming fear of God back into our pulpits. Yeah. I want to ask you a question, Elder, because in the beginning I did say, you know, many of us preachers have watered down the word. And what do you think about that? What do you think about? We have visited a lot of churches, amen?
Amen.
Amen. All around the world. And one thing that I know that has been consistent in a lot of them is watering down God's word.
Amen. And the reason is this, that I see it goes back to those three points. First one being no vision from God.
Mm.
And when there's no vision from God, you know, as far as you being called to actually even start a ministry in the first place,
mm.
then you have to go back to what is that vision then? What is it that is calling you actually to start the church? You can't start a church because you're looking for financial gain. The Bible says that you cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to either love one or you hate the other. You can't do both.
Mm.
Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he."
Mm.
And, you know, when you look at parallel versions of that scripture, English Standard Version, it says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint.
Yes.
But blessed is he who keeps the law."
Mm.
And the New Living Translation says, "When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild.
Jesus.
But whoever obeys the law is joyful."
Yeah.
So what you're seeing today is the church running wild.
Mm.
You know that there's no restraint.
Yes.
Because there is no true vision from God.
Mm.
And when there is no true vision from God, then that means that you have to move on the needs of the people more than the needs of God.
Stay right there, Elder.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. That is good. I mean, that just that part right there, moving on the needs of people rather than moving on the need of God. And you'll see why I paused you for that, because it was just confirmation. You know, my late grandmother used to say, from the remark you made about where there's no vision and how some have just started ministry and did not necessarily be called by God to do so, she would always tell me, "Baby, some was called, some was sent, some just packed up and went." And it is so important, right?
Amen.
That, you know, and the Bible says, write the vision, make it plain.
That's right.
And my people perish by the lack of what?
Knowledge.
Yeah, and that's, I'm thinking within the vision. If we go into the house of God and, you know, you don't know what direction you're going, how do you expect anybody else to be in order and direct?
That's right. And one thing about it too, Evangelist, is when God sets up and calls you and he sets up your church.
Yes.
He'll send provision.
Won't he, though?
He'll send the provision for the vision.
Yes.
You don't have to really milk the people. You don't
That's
really
right.
have to contend with a lot of things. You can be true to the word of God without worrying about people's feelings, about worrying about offending folk.
Yes.
But the reason why we're watering down the word because of the fear of losing, you know, some tithers or losing membership numbers.
Amen.
But if God called your ministry to be, you better believe that he's also going to send the people. He's also going to send the help,
yes.
people who can actually connect with your vision,
mm-hmm.
because it's a vision from God, and God is going to send the flock.
Amen.
And you don't have to worry about that. He's going to send the provision. But when you are called for other reasons that is outside of God, which is the reason that we have so many issues in our churches today, because we are not allowing Christ to be centered and to be the center purpose that drives our ministry.
That's right.
You're going to have chaos. You're going to have
disorder. Amen, Elder. You know, fear often motivates a person to repent. The fear of the Lord will cause an adulterer to seek forgiveness. It will motivate the prodigal to return. It will cause pastors to spend extended time in prayer for anointed sermons. True fear of the Lord saves man from himself. We should take God's commands seriously and respectfully. We can no longer be preachers that entertain or pacify sin. We have a responsibility to preach this word in season and out. And I see, Elder, the fear of God, the reverence of God has really left the house of God.
Amen.
There was a time when there was a true respect. And I can go as back as when my grandmother was alive and when I was going into the house of God. I was a young girl, and if I knew I went to the club the night before and my grandma tried to tell me, you need to come to church, and I was squirming in my seat the whole time. It wasn't something that I was comfortable doing. And now we do anything and everything in the house of God and slap on it, God knows my heart.
Amen.
He said, I can come as I am. We have no fear, Elder.
Amen.
We have no reverence. And it almost vexed my spirit.
I understand. And I'm thinking about my second point, which is the anointing.
Mm.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
When there is no... When a church is not anointed, there's no power. And Jesus is the Christ.
Yes.
Christ Christos is the anointed one.
Teach, Elder.
And when he is the center.
Yes.
You understand, when we come into the house of worship.
Yes.
And we come to exalt the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name that is mentioned under the earth.
Yes.
You know, when we call on the name of Jesus, there's
power
in that name.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that Jesus did, as you was talking, I was thinking about Luke 4:18.
Read, Elder.
He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yes.
Because he have anointed me,
Jesus,
to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach, listen to this, deliverance.
Yes.
To the captives.
Deliverance.
And recovering of sight to the blind.
Mm-hmm.
To set at liberty them that are bruised.
Mm-hmm.
To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down.
Mm.
You see, you know, when we preach Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
And we stay focused on that.
Yes.
And we make that the main purpose of why we come together. Not the music.
Yeah. Come on, Elder.
Not the fanfare, not the social activity or the just coming together to check the block. But when we make Jesus the center, you see, of why we come together.
Thank you, Jesus.
Coming, amen, with our hearts open to receive. Coming with the spirit of expectation.
Yes.
Not playing around.
Yes.
The power would fall.
Yes.
Just like the day of Pentecost when it was fully come. When they came together to have church in that upper room, the Bible says that they sold all that they had.
Yes.
So that they can be common one with another. They didn't want no isms or schisms
come
in the body.
They didn't want
anything to take away from us really having a true worship experience with God.
Yes.
You understand? So when they came together to have church and they had all things common, that's what we have to do. We have to come. They came praying.
Yes.
You know, that's one thing that Jesus got upset about with me. You know, Jesus didn't get too emotional about anything unless it came to the temple.
That's right, to the house of God.
Right, when he went to the temple and he seen his temple being instead of being a house of prayer, they turned it into a den of thieves.
Yes.
And he turned over tables.
Yes.
And he ran out the money changers.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
When it comes down to how we come together.
Yes.
You know, it's important that we set an atmosphere
That's right.
Prayer is conducive, that we come together, that we learn how to sell off everything
That's right.
that really has no relevance when
That's
it comes
right.
down to God. When we come to God, we come and we set everything at the altar
everything.
And we get our minds focused on Jesus,
Jesus.
The anointing,
yes.
the power.
Yes.
And where there is no anointing, people are running wild again.
That's right.
No restraint.
And you know, just what Luke 4:18 was saying, when there's no anointing, there's no deliverance.
No,
you know, no deliverance is happening in the house of God. I see the same people coming to the altar.
You have a form of godliness.
Yes.
No power.
Denying the power thereof.
Yeah.
See, we know how to act saved, Elder. We know how to look saved.
Yeah.
But truly being saved, truly a deliverance. And I don't think a lot of pastors realize you can have a full church all you want, but if the people are not delivered, if there's no anointing from God, it's not as effective. All you have is a full church sick of people.
Amen.
There's no anointing. There's no, you know, it's just like a baby. You know, you can keep giving it that bottle, but every now and then, if you don't stop and you overfeed that baby and you don't burp, let them burp, they're going to eventually spit up everything you gave them.
Right.
And that's what's happening in the house of God. The word is not really being applied like it need to, because there's a deliverance that needs to take place.
Absolutely.
And if my stomach hurts, don't give me nothing to eat until I get that up off my stomach that is upsetting it.
Amen.
Then I'll be able to get filled with what needs to really be in there.
Amen.
Amen, Elder.
Praise the Lord.
I don't even think we're going to be able to get through everything today. So God is good. This is good. I want you to go ahead and continue your third point with that one.
My third point is no wisdom.
Mm.
You know, in Colossians 2:2, there's plenty of scriptures on wisdom.
Yes.
But I like that one because it says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we know the Bible also says that wisdom is the principal thing,
yeah.
but in all you're getting, get an understanding. So in other words, that with wisdom that comes from God, he gives us a way how to apply knowledge.
Yes.
You got to have wisdom to be able to deal with the people of God.
Yes.
What I love about Solomon, when he was put in the office, in the position to rule such a great people,
yes.
one of the things that he said was, you know, when God asked him what was it that he desired, he didn't desire the things that is most common to folk.
Okay.
He asked for wisdom to be able to rule over the people.
Mm-mm-mm.
And it pleased God so much that he blessed them with a wisdom that made him one of the wisest men of that time.
Yes.
And he also blessed them beyond measures in riches and all of the other things that most people also ask for.
Yes.
But it just goes to show that when you are in a position of leadership, wisdom is very important, and that comes straight from God.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says that if a brother is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual. And I think when it comes down to a true wisdom, it is being able to have a skillful hand
yes.
in order to be able to deal with God's people.
Yeah.
You got to have wisdom from God to be able to deal with the issues that we are dealing with today. You know, you just can't rule it off any old kind of way. We have to really be able to look at the condition of the world and look at what's coming into our churches and how it's coming in. And we need that wisdom to be able to properly discern and
right.
apply
That's right.
the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we was talking about study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightfully dividing.
Yes, Lord.
You understand the word
yes.
of truth, because you can wrongfully divide this word.
Yes.
And thinking that you're doing something good because
mm-hmm.
you have no wisdom, you can kill people.
Yes.
You can hurt people.
Yes.
So we just can't go on the bare knowledge that I know that what you're doing is wrong. We have to seek God for the wisdom on how to be wise.
That's right.
You understand?
Amen.
To bring those individuals to Christ. So we
Amen.
Have to be wise fishermen. You know, you
Amen.
Got to put on the right bait. You know, I don't know how to fish too much.
I know, Elder, because you are from New York.
But I'm pretty sure that, you know, they got different baits.
Yes, they do.
To catch different types of fish.
Yes, they do.
You know, so you have to be educated. You have to know which type of bait
Amen.
To put on the hook. Because it's all about soul winning, and
That's
if
right.
and if our churches is not about reaching out to the community,
mm.
and being able to yes to win souls to Christ, but when you have a vision from God, I guarantee you that vision will be able to connect with the needs of the community. We have
yes.
so many churches that start up because, you know, again, it's a business.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm looking for a way,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
To gain more money.
To gain money.
And we can just
or,
be real.
You know, it's my employment.
Yes.
You know, but when it is your calling.
Yes,
you know what I mean? And we are leaning on God to provide.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
He miraculously does.
Yes.
When Jesus came into a city, he turned the city upside down.
Yes, he did.
The fame of Jesus
mm.
went forth.
Jesus.
And we focus on Jesus. You know why? Because when the power is there in the ministry, people will be healed.
Yes.
People will be delivered.
You
know, people won't be able to keep their mouth shut because of what went on in the church. And then they go out and they say, you got to come and see.
Yeah, that's how we – but hold on, Elder White. That right there is so good. See, that's how we get people to come. We don't get people to come by, you know, making up stuff. We don't get people to come by, can I put it out there, Elder? Amen. Chicken plates are good, but we get people to come by the power of God being present. See, I'm so excited about the church we are attending now that I want to invite people to come because I've seen the power of God come.
Amen.
You know, when people start getting set free and they start getting delivered, and if we can just really think about it for a minute, wisdom teaches me that we are not to just go out there to the lost. But we got a lot of lost right in the house of God.
That's right.
You know, and when we start taking care of God's house, surely he will take care of ours. But what happens is we are so busy trying to take care of our own house that we oftentimes leave God's house unattended.
That's true. Amen.
Mm. Didn't mean to get excited, but whew, Elder,
amen.
That was good.
That's so true. But it's crucial when
yes.
when you are seeing people healed and when miracles are being performed
mm-hmm.
and God is truly moving.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. You know, you ain't got to worry about folk coming because we got a lot of folk in the world that's looking for real church.
Yes.
And see the thing that the thing that you gotta understand is that people who are out in the world, they've been out there hustling.
They know game.
And they've been out there dealing with drama all their life.
Yes.
So when they come into the church, they can identify
That's right.
with those same type of spirits operating in the church.
Mm,
so it is important that especially leadership. I don't put nothing at fault with the lay members.
That's right.
It starts with the headship. It starts with leadership. It always going to go back to the leadership if churches is not operating the way it's supposed to. So when you have disorder in the church, you don't have to look no further than the head.
Mm, Jesus, my God. Woo. Disorder comes, the other one that God gave me was, disorder comes into the house of God when the worship is not in spirit and in truth. John 4:24 reads, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And, Elder,
Amen.
You know how I feel about that. You know, I say all the time, I love praise. I truly do. I love a good beat in the drums and, you know, I don't know what you come to do. I love some good praise. But it's something about worship. There's something about the intimacy that takes place with you and God. It is like a self-inventory check
yeah.
where you are truly, totally surrendering unto God. And what I'm noticing in the house of God is we play with God so much that we don't really understand the real worship from the fake worship.
Amen. And, well, you know, it all comes back down again to the personal relationship. When you talk about intimacy, that's something
yes.
that's personal
yes.
between the individual and God.
Amen.
You know, when you talk about I'm praising God for for what he's done. And
yes.
I'm praising God for, you know, because I can identify with, you know what I mean, how he's blessing my life.
Yes.
But you see how that is all in reference to what I see him doing for me.
Mm.
But when I get into worship,
yes.
it's no longer about me. It's just about worshiping who he is.
That's right.
It's all about him.
Mm.
It's just being in awe
yes.
of the fact that such an omnipotent,
yes.
omniscient,
yes.
and omnipresent God
yes.
can find an old sinful Curtis
Ooh.
White,
Kalisha White,
and,
yes.
and pick me up out of the muck and
Thank
the mire.
Thank you, God.
And save my soul.
Thank you, Jesus.
And love me so much that he would send his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me.
Yes.
And you have to personalize that and realize what God is doing in you.
That's right.
Just to get you to a place so that you can acknowledge who he is.
And worship is more of just, like you said, more of glorifying him. God, I think you didn't have to.
Didn't have to.
I mean, he saved me when I didn't want to be saved.
That's right.
And he loved me when I did not know how to be loved.
Exactly.
And when you just think about the goodness.
Amen.
My soul cries out. I'm
Hallelujah.
Just thankful.
Amen.
I'm great. I love him.
Amen.
And I just love him because he's God all by himself.
And you know what else? He ain't like man.
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh Lord, if he loves me in spite of
Elna.
Of my mistakes.
Yes.
Of my circumstances.
Yes.
Of my shortcomings.
Yes. My flaws. Yes.
He sees beyond that.
Thank you,
and he still loves me in spite of everything. He forgives me, but
an
not man.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional, but, you know, folks put conditions on theirs.
Mm.
And so many times, and it's a shame that we rather spend so much time, you know what I'm saying, dealing with folk.
Jesus.
And not spend enough time acknowledging what God has done.
And if you ever, and that is such a revelation, Elder, because we say we're looking to be loved, and we're looking for someone to love us, and he does.
He does.
He loves every bit. I don't care how long I have carried Devontae in my womb and gave birth to him. I don't know the very strands of his head. I don't know when he's going to leave this world, but God does.
He sure does.
He knows everything about us. He knows our coming and our goings. He knows our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a worship that is supposed to be given unto him, and it's said in spirit. It
yeah.
can't be done in flesh.
Can't do it.
It is spirit and in truth, and truth is the word of God. Everything lines up.
And I'm so glad I never seen him.
Ooh.
You know, I'm glad I never seen him in the way that we see everything else.
Yes.
And he and God just leaves it open for us to fill in those things, because that's what happened when you if you try to see him in the way that you understand. That's why you lean not to your own understanding.
That's right.
But in all your ways acknowledge him.
Mm.
Because all of those missing things that we see going on in the world is because God is absent.
Yes.
It's because we don't have a true revelation and understanding of who he truly is.
Mm-hmm.
And until you die to your flesh, until you really die to your flesh and really understand that there's more to this than meets the eye.
Yes.
You sometimes never get to that place. So you never get to that place that says, what I think on the goodness of Jesus.
And all
that he has done for
Ooh.
Me.
My soul
cries out.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All I got to do is think.
Mm-mm-mm.
I ain't got to go through. All I got to do, all we have to really do is think when you was in that possible car
Worship.
Accident that could have took your life.
Yes.
And you know it ain't nothing but a miracle that you're here.
Yes.
So many reasons.
Oh, my, Elder White. This word is so rich.
Amen.
It's so good. And we are so out of time.
Already? 30 minutes went by already?
Amen. And the word today, my beloved, I know it is tight, but it is right. And we are going to have to continue this next week. If God says the same time, March 14th. We welcome comments, questions, statements. Feel free to text, email, or call. Also, please don't forget to check out my blog, Heaven Sent, which are messages from heaven, from God, go to www.ccmw.co. Again, we thank you in advance for taking the time to tune in with us. Thank you, Elder White, again, for being with us. And if nobody else tells you, just remember, God loves you, and so do we. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Until we meet again, be blessed. Goodbye.